Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And today I'm joined in the studio by Fathers Jerome Zeiler and Charles Schonk. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Father Jerome, on the ride down, you had an incredible idea, and I was thinking this would be a great discussion. So why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, well, I was with the youth group the other night, our youth group at St. Patrick's.
And wonderful group.
It is a wonderful group. Yeah, absolutely wonderful. But I gave a presentation on St. Dominic, just his life and everything. And then one young lady asked just a great question, something which I had never posed to myself before. We had a little question and answer session afterwards. And she said, if St. Dominic were alive today... Now, let me preface that by saying I talked about how he had this incredible compassion as he was going on this trip. He went through France and everything, and there was the Albigensian heresy, which was flourishing through France at the time. And the Albigensian heresy, that was just the heresy that was prevailing through France, and he realized he came up with the idea to start a religious order to fight heresy in the world. And particularly at the time, that was the prevailing heresy, the Albigensian heresy, which was just spreading like wildfire through France and elsewhere. And so that was a need of his time. That's what the early Dominicans were founded to fight primarily, was the Albigensian heresy. And they did a great job.
And that's why most people don't know who Albigensians are, because the Dominicans did such a great job on that one.
Exactly. There's a joke about that. Anyway. But anyway, her question was, if St. Dominic were alive today, what would the main heresy be, or the main lie that, is preventing people from entering the kingdom of God, that he would see and focus on primarily in his preaching?
And this is a really important question, because Satan, the father of lies, always wants to try to introduce error into human thought to prevent people from being able to follow that invitation to Christ, to grow in the truth, and grow towards heaven. And so it's important for us to know, well, how is the evil one coming at us in our culture? How's he trying to confuse our minds? And how can we see past that to see the truth?
Yes, yes. So, and as a Dominican priest, I had never actually posed that question to myself. I mean, I'm constantly...
So yeah. what would your answer be?
Well, so at the time, I mean, it shocked me. Like, that's a wonderful, wonderful question. And I was like kind of surprised. I never posed that to myself, actually. But I mean, in different ways I had, just not under that format. But, initially, I thought, well, you know, we do live in a time which was a lot like the time in which St. Dominic lived. A lot of people saw, the evil of greed, the evil of sins of lust and greed. And that's actually one reason why the Albigensian heresy was so prolific. They saw sin. They saw vice, particularly in the forms of greed and lust. And, you know, just going down the train of thought. I mean, we definitely see that in our culture. It's a very secular one, consumer driven. The pursuit of pleasure is really widespread, and in a way that is totally of this world. We live in a very worldly, secular, materialistic, consumer-driven world.
You see that everywhere, such as in advertising, it's constantly the implicit message is, if you buy this, you'll be happy.
Exactly.
It's saying that material things can provide the happiness you seek.
And yes.
It's just not true.
That's such a lie that infiltrates our culture, and it's promulgated and perpetuated and really intensified in amazing ways, and millions, billions are poured into it to promulgate that lie so that people don't even think about it. It's just in the air you breathe. The way to happiness is through pleasure, like as much pleasure and comfort as you can attain. Mm-hmm. And like one thing that feeds into this is, I mean, we have the technology, like, unlike any other time, you know, people turn to God for success in battle, like to help the crops grow and everything. And it's always struck me that we, unlike any civilization that ever has been before, because of technology, not that technology is bad, technology is great, but we can.
I do like modern dentistry.
So do I, and many other things. But like it can also feed the lie that we are our own masters, mm-hmm. and through technology we can solve all our problems, mm-hmm. Suffering of all kinds.
Yeah.
You know, everything that people pray to God for, or the gods for, we turn to technology for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. And, but we have the foundation for the perpetuation of a real lie that through technology, through all these things, you can obtain a kind of utopia, a state of happiness and freedom from suffering and everything that, you know, will satisfy all your desires.
A line I've always liked to say is that the problem with communism is that it's too moderate. And I think this feeds into that because communism holds that if we rearranged our economics and our politics, we could bring about a utopia.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problems of human history are simply procedural problems about how we organize society, but they're actually much deeper. And that means that simply having more technology can't bring about a utopia because the ultimate problems are problems of the soul, of sin, of fallenness, a separation from God. And no amount of technology or political organization can repair what's broken in the soul. It takes God intervening into the world.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if we could have just fixed ourselves, then God didn't need to send Jesus. He could have written the ultimate self-help book, hundreds of pages of great advice, and we could have followed its steps and create our own worldly kingdom of utopia here. But God didn't, because he knew we needed more. We needed God himself to come
in.
What
a horrible idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So I'd like to see what your answer would be, because that wasn't, those were just, this is how my thoughts were running. And then after the talk, Patrick, our youth director said, I would say, you know, anti-supernaturalism is, that's all tied together.
I would say it's relativism. It's a belief that there is no spiritual or moral reality, that the only truths are mathematical truths, scientific truths, truths of the measurement of the physical world, but there's no truth to who we are and our humanity and what's good and bad for our humanity. And therefore, there is no such thing as virtue. This is a dangerous idea, because then people say, I can be whatever I desire to be, whether it's, and there's no consequences for me. And we see this play out in the redefinition of the family, the redefinition of all parts of human life. And the problem is, if there is a spiritual reality, if there's a moral reality, then to ignore those rules would be like trying to build a plane while ignoring the laws of aerodynamics. it's going to crash and burn. Mm. And so the people that are going to be harmed are the people engaging in these experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And at the deeper level, it's what the original temptation was in the garden, that you can be like gods and define your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people buy into now, that in my autonomous self, I can define reality.
Mm-hmm.
Problem
mm-hmm.
is, if there's already reality in place, you're fooling yourself, and you do so to your own detriment.
Yes, yes. And that goes along with, I think, it's you can see how it's really demonic or satanic, because it's an attack on creation. You know, the mm-hmm. devil wants to destroy what God has created. And in denying our humanity, or the constituent elements of our humanity, you know, in denying the reality of things like the family and the sexes, you know, this is why Pope Francis, I think, inveighs and really, you know, uses very strong language about what he calls gender ideology, and, you know, compares it to an atomic weapons, you know, ideological colonization, you know, because it is really a satanic attack on the way God made us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the devil's suggestion is to us is you can do better, you know, mm-hmm. you can do better than the way God made you,
yes,
you know, you can be like gods, you know, as you were saying, Father mm-hmm. Boniface.
That's it. I mean, that's the ultimate. I mean, that is like with more thought. I mean. That would be what I would say. I mean, I'm sure St. Dominic would be entirely preaching against this specifically. I mean, and we do this, thanks be to God. But go ahead.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Indorf, and I'm the parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus, and I'm joined in the studio today by Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schonk, and we're discussing what are the most serious errors or fallacies facing our culture today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but yes, if you look at, like, the war we're having, the culture war, and what's really at the heart on of both sides, what the message are really trying to say in so many different ways in the heart of this battle. On the one hand, you know, those who are promoting the culture of life, our message is, you know, God is the creator. We are his creatures, and we need the way to happiness, the way to really, truly, the fulfillment of all our desires as human beings is to receive from him and say, you know, with Mary, let it be done to me according to thy word. And on the opposition we're fighting against is really saying, and yes, it is absolutely the ultimate satanic. And honestly, it's the ultimate satanic temptation. It's, yes, what was at the Garden of Eden. It's what led to his fall. But saying, no, we can be, you can be like God by your own power.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'm sorry, Father Boniface, but I think, not that we don't want to turn the show into a talk on moral issues, but I think you can see this with the issue of contraception. Mm-hmm. You know, people tend to say to themselves, well, what's the harm? You know, what's the harm? Well, I think if you see it in this larger perspective of trying to alter our humanity, you know, to improve, so we think, upon the design that God has given us, I think you see the insidious way in which that promotes human pride. And, you know, it's one thing, you know, obviously medical technologies are great things when they aid and supplement the body's own design and purpose, right? But when we turn medicine into something that's not medicine, you know, when we frustrate, you know, I saw this the other day. I think this is a great line that women don't have a design flaw. You know, isn't that a great feminist way of putting it? You know, mm-hmm. women don't have a design flaw. And that's what contraception says. Women have a design flaw, and we need to fix it.
I think that the moral issues are certainly the flashpoint right now in the culture wars, but the real issue is a deeper one, and it's a cosmological issue. It's a question of what does it mean to be human?
Yes.
And you see this framed often in the wider culture as, well, Christians have a certain opinion and they want to enforce their opinion upon society. That assumes that the atheist view that there is no reality to the spiritual or moral side of humanity, that it's all made up. It assumes the truth of that. But really the question is, what is the truest reality? Is there a real moral law? Is there a real morality and spiritualness to being a human? Does it mean anything to say that I'm a human or not? And that's really the question, is which of these understandings of the world, that it means something to be human or it means nothing to be human, which is in fact the case. And that's what's being fought out. And it's not science versus opinion, but it's two whole worldviews coming into collision. Mm-hmm. And so as a Christians, we're not saying that my personal opinion trumps. We're saying the very nature of reality is different than what the secularists say.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think the secularists do have a conception of humanity, and that is self-determination.
Yes, pure will.
Self-creation, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a, as you were implying, I think, Father Boniface, they have their own assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And just pointing out those assumptions can advance the dialogue tremendously.
Yes.
You know, because a lot of people don't realize that they have assumptions, and they really do.
Mm-hmm. Like assuming that one position is a neutral objective position and the other is a personal opinion. Well, that's to grant the debate already. That's to say we're going to agree with one side before we start the debate.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, throughout my life, obviously, as a Dominican and everything, I've thought about these things. And I mean, as we all have it. But the, you know, one like real revelation to me during the whole course of my life of thinking about these things is that, you know, I used to think ultimately, you know, it was philosophical. Like, you know, people were just at the heart of the matter, there was just ignorance about the truth of reality, you know? and, you know, the truth would set you free, and it does. The truth does set you free. But what's really at stake is, I mean, undergirding everything is a desire of the heart. And the desire of the heart that is so insidious and so just leads to so much, to the desire to uphold relativism in the end, it's a desire for power. It's a desire to say, I am who I want to be. I'm not who I was. I have complete power over it. See, technology can really go to our heads. Technology is great, but through technology, we can see more and more, you know, wow, like we can determine things. Mm-hmm. We can.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these things we could do now that people were never able to do. And like we can.
And these,
create ourselves.
And these desires for self-definition, for power, control, comfort, material things, what they really do is rob you of your ability to be happy.
They
get what you ultimately seek, because what we need in order to be happy, what everyone needs, is love. You need love, a life with no friendships, with no spouse, children, parents, no relationship with God, no relationship with anyone except of convenience is not a happy life. And in order to love, you have to be free. You can't order someone to love. You need that freedom to give yourself in love. But what happens is, if you live for money, for power, for these sorts of things, it closes off your freedom, your ability to love, because you're so tied to my control through power, my self-definition, my acquiring these goods and comforts, that they control your own inner life and prevent you from being able to be free to give yourself to another in love. You're too full of other things to give yourself.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's really insightful, because I think that maybe the root, I think that one of the foundational issues here is the lie God doesn't love you, you know. And that was the lie that the serpent told Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have your best interests at heart. So you need to seize control, mm-hmm. you know, because right. if you don't, then who knows, you know?
Yes.
So I think that's the ultimate lie that the devil tells us, God doesn't love you. And that is, if you want to boil down the Christian revelation to its essence, that is it. God is love. God loves you, you mm-hmm. know? And that's why people find it so hard to believe, because they look around them and they see suffering and evil and disorder, and they say, how, you know? But then the ultimate Christian answer to that question is Jesus on the cross, right? That's how much God loves us. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, you know, Walker Percy, a great Catholic novelist, he has this great little essay called Questions They Never Asked Me, in which he pretends like he's being interviewed, but he's asking the questions, right? And one of the questions he asks himself is, why do you believe? Why do you have faith? You know, and, you know, you're a brilliant novelist. Why do you believe in this fairy tale? You know, and his answer is very funny. He begins by saying, how should I know? You know, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but, if you want me to try to explain it, I would say I asked for it. I asked for faith. In fact, I demanded it. And he goes on to say, he says, I looked around me at this world that I'm living in, which is a disaster, this age that we live in, which is a disaster by any calculation. And I demanded a gift commensurate with the offense. Isn't that great? Yeah. I demanded a gift commensurate with the offense, you know. And if God really loves us, you know, then he will give us a gift that is commensurate with all this crap in the world, you know? Yeah. And that's what the incarnation is. That's what the redemption, the cross, he gave us. He doesn't take away our suffering, but he gave us a gift that exceeds it.
Absolutely. Right. And right. I think there's something insightful in what you said that explains the modern culture wars, and that you talked about the fear in the garden where when the serpent said, did God tell you you can't eat from any of the trees? And the implication being, there's nothing to eat here. You're going to starve if you follow God. Mm-hmm. God won't help you. Mm-hmm. And in their pride, they ate to be like God, to be able to take care of themselves. The two things that always go together are pride and fear, mm-hmm. because pride is always based upon a lie. It's humility that realizes the truth of who we are as humans. Mm-hmm. So when we say we can create our own reality, that pride is always coupled with that fear that you see from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that explains a lot of the animosity against Christianity, because it's always at risk in your pride. You always have the risk of it, the lie behind it being uncovered, and mm-hmm. that fear mm-hmm. and the need to silence anyone who could reveal that fear.
Right.
And so I think that's where a lot of the heat comes in the culture wars, is that the fear that goes with the pride.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, no, I mean, that the desire for power does underlie that, you know, the desire for relativism and everything else. No one would desire that otherwise. but the desire for power is rooted in a real insecurity. And I mean, you know, I just, if I thought that, you know, it's completely by chance that I came to be, that, you know, it's completely by chance, by some kind of biological, you know, chance event that I'm male. you know, oh my goodness, like the radical insecurity I'd have, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, whoa, like I am just this weak thing that's a product of chance. And yes, I would want as much power as possible to help determine my own, you know, future and everything.
If you're lost in a hostile cosmos,
yeah, if you're lost,
you've got to fight for every inch.
That's know? Right.
But fortunately, we're not lost in a hostile cosmos, but we're the product, the creatures of love, saved by Jesus Christ, and that's always our hope, no matter how difficult of a culture we live in or what errors we face today. that the real solution is what it always has been, turning to God, the source of all love. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm the parochial vicar at St. Patrick Parish here in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Fathers Jerome Zeiler and Charles Schonk. Let us end in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, so-